also want to let you know the kickoff show, especially this weekend. Come on, you know you're going to be wanting to count down to this thing. Sunday with Lo Neal and Evan Giddings, live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara. That's where we get ready for games, for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. Certainly open to take some calls on that, 888-957-9570, with regard to how the mental edge or the mental disadvantage plays into this. And to me, that's sort of almost what I'm more focused on. I mean, just picture, if you will, picture this now. And I actually would predict that this is going to happen, because I'm the dummy who doesn't learn. I again think the 49ers are going to be the better team for three quarters. And if Kyle's sitting here talking about post-traumatic stress, how do you feel when the fourth quarter starts and you're up 17-7 or you're up 17-10 and Mahomes has got the ball and the defense is starting to breathe heavy? Like, that's going to be – I just feel like that's an elephant at the 50-yard line on Sunday.
It's an elephant on your chest as a fan, because you've seen it time and time again. And if you look at 7 points or fewer, one-score games in the regular season, they've lost six in a row. And I'll say it again for effect, because I went back, and that includes the Ram game last year and the two games you lost this year by 7 points or fewer. Last year, when you were in a one-score game, 7 points or fewer, you're 0-6 in the regular year. And I know that you were 1-2 in the postseason last year, so if you want to add those in, you're 1-8 in the last 2 years in games settled by 7 points or less. So to your point, if you get into that spot where it's 17-10 and Mahomes gets the ball back with 4:12 to go and all three timeouts, you're feeling like, God, I hope they don't go for two, because they're going to score. I just hope they don't go for two and win this thing in regulation.
Like, that's
the PTSD, I think, for fans.
100%. All of it. All of it. I bet if you polled 49er fans right now, and hell, we have the option to do this, like, you think the 49ers are the better team this weekend? You can weigh in on that, because there's a number of ways people answer that. 888-957-9570. Who's the better team this weekend? And we go right back to the same conversation that you and I have had a bunch of times with regard to how you answer that question. If you're kind of a math brain, you're like, that's a stupid question. Of course the Chiefs are better. They win. They beat you. Their record is better. What are you asking? But the Niners don't believe that. Deebo Samuel doesn't believe that. And I know a lot of Niner fans who do think that way, where it's like, even if you have to insert the word should in there, the Niners should be the better team. They are at home. They have better players. They are favored. They are this, that, and the other. But that's why the more I think about this, this is absolutely a monstrous game this weekend. Because if you think about the fallout, if the 49ers come up on the short end, especially if they've got a second-half lead,
right,
that's the kind of thing that they could end up sticking with them for the rest of the year.
Well, and they've already blown 20 fourth-quarter leads in the Shanahan era, and two of them have happened this year. It happened against Arizona. It happened against the Rams. Fourth-quarter leads, Shanahan and company unable to close it out. And so when you think about that, 20 blown leads in the fourth quarter, you think about the two highest profile among them, which are both Super Bowls. And another one of them was an NFC Championship game against the Rams, where you had a big lead and you didn't close that one out. So if you do have a lead and you don't win against Kansas City, it's going to bring back all of those things. A couple of Super Bowls, and it'd be 21 blown leads in the fourth quarter and all the rest of it. So, yeah. You look at this game, and you might look at Kansas City and think about it from a fantasy football standpoint and think, well, none of these guys are any good, and of course they should win. But when you look at it from a football standpoint, they've got the best player in the game, the best coach in the game, and if you want to talk about best defensive players in the game, Chris Jones is on the list of one of the best defensive players, and their run defense is very good. Their secondary is good. Their team is very good. It's better than what people want to give them credit for because a lot of the names are not household names.
No, the defense is fantastic. That's the way the NFL works. Like, largely fans don't know defensive players. I don't need household players, household names on defense in order to think it's good. It's a very good defense. But, you know, each week we've been doing this with the Niners defense, right? Remember when it was like, oh, they're back, or were they just playing the Patriots? Well, after Kyler Murray came in, you're like, eh, I think they're just playing the Patriots. Well, now I'm really interested to do that again because the defense I thought was pretty good against Seattle. I know what happened late in the game, and it got a little wobbly. Special teams touchdown.
Yep.
Guys
yep.
are getting tired. That's NFL games. I don't worry about it. They made big plays when they had to. You had two rookies playing in the defensive backfield, and you have now replacements for Hargrave playing up the middle at defensive tackle. And that group, without Hargrave, has been much better against the run. If that group plays well again this weekend against a group that is not going to overwhelm you with talent, they're going to overwhelm you with Mahomes and smarts and play calling, but they're not going to run away from you. Juju Smith-Schuster's not going to run away from you. Xavier Worthy might,
yeah,
if you can get him the ball in space, but it's a group that if the Niners actually are making progress on defense, I don't. The Chiefs don't score 30 points in games. They haven't done it yet this year. There's no reason that you can't at least target something in the neighborhood of 20 points and call that reasonable. For me, the game is much more on the other side of the ball. George Kittle said it. This is the best defense they've played this year. They are supposed to be the fancy offense. Let's see it. That group should have the opportunity to win the game if they play well.
And I don't know if that is necessarily the case when you've got your number one running back who hasn't played all year and your number two running back is in a blue jersey at practice, and I'm not sure if he's going to progress to the point where he can play. And even if he does play, you're going up against the fourth best rush defense in football, so now you're going to have Brock Purdy have to do a lot with his arm against a team that is middle of the pack against the pass, but a defensive coordinator who has had the better of you in some of the biggest games. And I do think on the other side, we might be, as a collective fan base, overlooking an offense that is totally different than it has been in the past. And it's an offense that will challenge the 49ers defense because they've got a lot of tight ends. They'll go two and three tight ends, and the 49ers have one linebacker who anybody wants to trust. And so you've got Xavier Worthy running across the middle. You've got multiple tight ends. Fred Warner can only guard one of them, and Devondre Campbell is going to have to cover somebody, and I don't like that matchup against either Gray or Worthy or Smith-Schuster or any of these guys running in short intermediate routes. I look at a Kansas City team that's going to exploit the 49ers in their weak interior linebackers.
888-957-9570. Who do you view as the better team this weekend? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls. Who do you view as the better team this weekend? And take that question for what it is. You can answer it as, well, this is math. One has a better record than the other. Or you can lean into the spread or just how you see it. This is why I think, because they are. They're both, in my mind, they're still very, very good teams. I noticed that Mooch said the Niners are the best 3-3 team in the history of the league. You didn't run over there and punch him. If I had said that, you would have. So that was cowardly. That's number one. But number
two,
you're
asking me to strike our guest in the face?
Yes, absolutely. Or at least verbally, go after him. He's right here.
It's an opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, is he not?
But when other people use that same opinion, you lose it. You're like 3-3 is 3-3, and that's your record. You are what your record says.
The record is
what
you say you are.
No,
yes,
they're the best.
3-3.
They're the best 3-3 team in the league. The Cowboys and Niners.
He said in the history of the league.
There you go.
I don't have enough history as he does to challenge that. So.
Back in 1982. No. Anyway, I want everyone to listen to this though too. Is it pronounced Danon? Is that how?
Dannon.
Like the yogurt. All right, sweet.
Like Kevin.
Dannon. Dannon Hughes, who is an analyst for the Chiefs, and I was listening to this. He used to play for the Chiefs, and he was on with Bonte and Joe this morning. I think, to me, this is the most important piece of this game this weekend. Listen to what he says about how the Chiefs mentally approach big games like this.
from our standpoint, we've been down this road already. When we played the Baltimore Ravens, that was week one of the season, and we just considered it week one. I'm sure the Ravens were thinking about retribution and trying to get back, but that's not the case. We went down to Atlanta, and they said it was the biggest game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium history. And what we said was, oh, it's just week four. Like, that's literally how we look at things, or week three, I should say. So, like, that's kind of the mindset where this team has been, is that we're just taking it game by game. We know there's going to be a lot of emotion that's going to be generated for this matchup, this rematch, and we're just going to try to take it and try to escape with a win.
So, I think that's the deal. If you want to look at this game this weekend, the 49ers look at this as a huge hurdle for them to jump. The Chiefs look at it as week seven.
And do you see an edge in that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The Chiefs have an edge.
He made the point about the Chiefs in week one, and, you know, just Baltimore. Baltimore's all revved up, and the Chiefs won.
Exactly.
And so the Niners are going to be all revved up, and that doesn't give them an edge?
No, because you don't get to play as loose. Like, I think, like that's when you're talking about all this tight end, direct snap, ring around the rosy.
Dude, they do it all.
You ain't doing that if they've beaten you every time. You're not doing that if they take the Super Bowl from you. You're out there going, dude, you're grinding. The Niners are grinders this weekend.
Well, they weren't in the Chiefs, Super Bowl last year where they had Juwan Jennings throwing the football.
Right. And they lost.
Well, I hope Shanahan approaches it the same way. I hope he's not super tight with
it. I don't even mean it about play calling. I mean it in terms of just the way it's almost like body language. It's the way that you can approach things. George Kittle is usually great at this. Right? Your name is George, too. And then it turns out there's a fumble on the ground behind you.
Right.
My guess is George is not going to be talking to other people named George on the field this week, being like, whoo, happy, lucky, fun time. It's going to be like, no, look over your shoulder, dude. What's going on behind you?
If Karlaftis is on the field, he's going to be Georging it up with George. He's a different dude.
No, that's fair. All right. We're sponsored by Safeway. 888-957-9570. Who do you view as the better team this week? And we'll hear some very key comments that you may have missed earlier today from Kyle Shanahan. We're live at the Madden compound in Pleasanton, getting ready for a special night celebrating the great John Madden. This is Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. The guys are live, remembering the great John Madden from his studio in Pleasanton.
Indeed we are. Mornings with Madden. Beautiful looking book by Stan Bunger.
Yep.
And this is the release party, but it's also just given us a chance to be like total football nerds and cruise around inside the Madden compound for the Twitch and YouTube audience. Hello. That's what it looks like right there. Check it out. Thank you. Wrong camera. That was a stay classy San Diego
totally
moment.
Totally Anchorman
right there.
Moment.
There you go. That's the book. And it's at all your local bookstores and available everywhere. Mornings with Madden. This guy used to come on the air on KCBS every damn day.
Only for 36 years, Mark. I mean, think about it.
I can't even wrap my head around that. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. That's crazy.
And you know why he did it?
They said basically it was an alarm.
Right, and he actually enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
And Al Hart was not the first one to do it, but when I started at KCBS, Al Hart, who at the time was, God, he had to be 74 years old, and this is going back. Al had already been in the business for 74 years. And
quick aside, that's the greatest name I've ever heard in my life.
Al Hart.
Al Hart? Are you kidding me?
Al Hart.
You say, boy, that guy's all heart. And that's literally his name.
He was the nicest man.
And he's all heart.
He was probably 5'7", a buck 09, soaking wet. He would bring snickerdoodles in the newsroom every Wednesday or Thursday. Al would show up with cookies. And, you know, I was on the desk, and one of the jobs was to call John Madden.
It's crazy.
And you called him at 8:12, and he, John, Dan Dibley from KCBS, how you doing? You ready to go? Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, where are you so I can tell Al? I'm on the bus. In between Omaha and Poughkeepsie.
Omaha!
Who knows where he was?
Oh, and then the Poughkeepsie.
Every time it'd be, you know, Al, who was not a football guy, and John, they'd be, I'm Brett Favre, and he'd do his whole thing, and it was amazing.
By the way, speaking of John and Brett Favre, did you have the same moment I did when Steve Mariucci is sitting right next to us and goes, Brett Favre was one of John's favorites? And I'm like, we know.
Yes.
We know.
And we're all thinking about this is Frank Caliendo immediately.
Brett Favre. Yeah, like that. We know.
And I just had a moment. I went downstairs to use the facility, and as I'm walking out, you look at like all the memorabilia, and I glanced over, and there's a TV that has got to be from 1973, and behind it, there's a picture of Madden and Summerall.
Unbelievable.
Madden and Summerall from probably 1984, and they're both like, you know, with their handhelds, and they're looking at the camera, and it's like, oh my God, that's my childhood right there.
It's incredible. Yeah. So hope you're enjoying a little memory lane with us, but as we also talk out Niners and Chiefs, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Also want to take a moment to let you know something that's coming up in just over an hour. You know what happens in just over an hour?
Tell me.
Do you know? It is the open practice for the Golden State Warriors at Chase Center.
Okay.
5:30. This is open to the public, okay? All you need to go in is $5. $5.
And a Moses Moody jersey?
Well,
optional.
At least Moses Moody fandom.
Right.
I mean, we talked about it one day.
Dude.
He goes out, owns the game in Vegas, and then reports that the Warriors and Moody are working on or talking about an extension.
Yep.
So
you know what that means, right? That
I know what you think's going to happen.
Yeah, we can get into it tomorrow.
Not getting traded. But anyway.
The old sign and trade. Dunleavy Chestnut Checkers.
Open practice at Chase Center today, 5:30. Tickets are just $5. You can get them at warriors.com. And oh, by the way, that money goes directly to charity, so you're also doing a good thing. And I don't know if you know this, but the Warriors are 5-0. And I don't want to hear that.
5-0.
I don't want to hear the preseason doesn't matter, because the last three times the Warriors went 5-0 in the preseason, we gonna be championship. Every time. So there you have it.
Call your shot.
We gonna be championship.
Cuckoo. Granny, but thank you.
But,
I believe I said cuckoosh.
But the 49ers.
He locked it up.
He did. So that's in there.
Okay.
But the 49ers are gonna be championship first. If Kyle Shanahan knows what's good for him. And speaking of Kyle Shanahan, he talked it out at practice today, and we wanted to let you hear all the important stuff he had to say. And as he always does, he started by talking about the injury situation.
All right, for practice today, Matthew Wright, shoulder and back, will not practice. Jake Moody, right ankle, won't practice. Juwan Jennings, hip, won't practice. Malik Collins, knee, won't practice. Leonard Floyd's having a vet day. Jordan Elliott, knee limited. Jordan Mason, shoulder limited. Debo Samuel, wrist limited. And Mustafa, ankle limited.
The wrist, is that what he was shaking his arm out at after the game?
Probably. Yeah, we didn't know during the game, though. Found out the next day.
What was it like to have Pierce all back in practice, Kyle? Did you sense some kind of, you know, players react to this?
Yeah, I think everyone's excited for him to be out. You know, we just had a walk through today, but Monday was our first day back with him, and we let him break the team down. He was excited. We didn't do much. We just had 1 2-minute drill. He was out of breath from it, so we were messing with him, trying to get him to talk right away. It was more just because he was so excited to be out there and stuff, but it was a good first day, and pumped to see him out there this afternoon.
Do you feel like his presence, just making his return, kind of uplifted the team? I know they had a little extra time off with the rest as well.
Yeah, I think more of the guys are just happy for him. You know, they know he's wanted to be a part of this. It's been a crazy story, him delaying to be a part of it, and he's worked to get here, and I know the guys are just excited for him and ready to support him, help him come along.
After Bosa and Leonard Floyd, you know, your depth, those guys have potential, you know, after them, but you know, they really haven't done it at the NFL level and aren't proven. How do you feel about that? Is that something you think might need to be addressed, you know, before a trade deadline?
I feel good about that. I mean, it's, you always want, I mean, you'd love to have 4 Pro Bowlers just in there, but I think that's the reality of most teams. I think it's very rare to have a situation that is better than that. You know, it did hurt. You know, we have big plans for Etour, you know, so him going on IR hurt, but we hope to get him back later this year. So, you know, we have some possible guys on the horizon coming back too.
Kyle, how much Super Bowl film are you watching versus what they put on tape this year?
Well, you stick with the 5 games they've done this year, and you go back to our last game with them. So you also go to previous games of us versus them. When coordinators don't change, scheme doesn't change, you tie in all those games.
How do you characterize going up against the Spagnuolo defense? Has it been about a similar feel to going up against his defenses over the last few games?
I think it's gotten better and better each year. I thought last year was the best defense that we played all year, and I feel that way this year so far. So they got guys who've been playing a long time together. They've been doing his scheme for a while. He's been doing his scheme for so long, but they continue to add to it. They continue to fine tune it, and I got a lot of respect for him and his scheme.
A lot of success game planning for Aaron Donald over the years. I know there are exceptions to this, but usually he has quiet games against you. Why don't you think you've had the same success against Chris Jones? What's the difference there?
There's just different variables they do with their stuff. You know, sometimes a little bit harder to eliminate him where he goes, and just some of the pressures they do. But he definitely deserves that attention. He's as good as player there is, and we try our hardest to take him out, but he makes that pretty hard.
What are the hallmarks of an Andy Reid scheme or an Andy Reid offense?
I mean, I think it features around their quarterback, obviously. Puts them in a great position to make a ton of plays, and he has a guy who can make a ton of plays. You know, they always dabble in all screens, RPOs. You always got to be ready for new plays, one that you haven't seen. And always enjoyed watching Andy since he was back in Philly, and he continues to evolve also.
On their defense, they're so man-heavy against you guys in the Super Bowl. You've seen a lot of man this year, maybe more than in recent years. Is that a coincidence, or do you sense maybe teams are kind of trying to follow some sort of a blueprint?
I think some games we have, some we haven't. You know, last game I didn't see it that way, but you know, they did more in the Super Bowl than they had in the past. And I think in the past they were like 20% man, and they went up to 35% in the Super Bowl. And that's about where they are this year. Last year going into that game, you know, they play more press and stuff than anyone in the league all of last year, and they're still doing that this year too. So, you know, when you're in crucial situations, especially the fourth quarter, they blitz more than anyone in the league last year, and that's true this year too. So usually when that's the case, you see man. So it goes with their scheme, and they definitely did a little bit more last year too.
You and Kittle kind of mentioned that last week ahead of the Seahawks battle, you said it wasn't a must-win, but it kind of is a must-win. Is the conversation going into this one, given the history between you guys and Kansas City, and then the ability to kind of put the rest of the league on notice with a win, is that the same type of conversation you're having with the guys?
I mean, I try to have the same conversation every week. I just word it a little differently. But I never want to say the words must win until if we don't win, we're eliminated from the playoffs. So that's the only time it's a true must win. But my words were last week that I'll never say it's a must win until it's that situation, but it damn sure feels like one. And I think that had to do with just losing 2 tight games in our division, being 0-2 in our division, going against a divisional opponent. I see this game like I see all games. I feel like they're all as, I mean, every game matters huge, but I didn't choose those words this week.
You brought in another kicker, I assume is insurance for Wright, whether he can go or not. And Carlson's not really a
historically a deep kickoff guy either. Would you ever consider bringing in a guy, at least for a while, just to kick off and then have a place kicker do the place kicker, or you just don't want to use two spots for that?
I mean, I'd love to. You just got to see what position you want to go short at. So, I mean, that could always be a possibility. But, you know, that does take a toll on the roster big time. If you ever had one injury at the wrong spot, that would be a big regret. But that is an interesting decision, but probably something we won't do.
Numbers say Patrick Mahomes is having a down season by his standards. What are you seeing from him in particular?
Well, I mean, I think everyone says down year just because their numbers aren't just crazy. But, I mean, Pat's as good as it gets. He's been as good as it gets since the first year that he got to play. You know, all their games, I think, except for one, have come down to the last possession, and he's as good as anyone in that last possession. You know, their running numbers aren't quite what they were last year. Their red zone isn't real high. So I think that equates to numbers. But Pat is Pat, and he's as good as it gets, and I don't see that changing at all.
Kyle, Brock was the number one quarterback in the league this year and last year on the play action, but I noticed that the play action percentage this year is down. Is there any reason for that you guys haven't run as many play action passes this year?
No, we try to run what we think looks good on tape, and it kind of just depends on how people are playing us, and sometimes we think it looks really good, sometimes we think it's not so good, so it's not like we don't just do things every week because we do it. I think it's just been just a matter of how the schedule's played out.
How do you feel like your receivers have done against man coverage this season?
I thought they've done some good stuff. I'm sure you guys have analytics on that I want to be well aware of. But, you know, I'm always trying to improve in everything. But, you know, I think we've won some and we've lost some, as usual.
Well, as I mentioned, that, you know, the Chiefs are specifically a team you guys have not succeeded against recently, and obviously in two huge games. I know as a coach, you can't all the time make one bigger than the other. But do you feel that a little bit? Like, you've had some fairly large losses against this team.
Yeah, I think everyone understands that we've lost the two Super Bowls to them. So, I mean, that can give a little post-traumatic stress when you turn on the tape, but I think that's human nature. But you got to make sure you don't get caught up in that. You know, this game has nothing to do with past games. That was last year. We're playing at a really good AFC opponent. We're 500 right now. We want to stay atop of our division and get a win. You think about that stuff going into it, but in terms of what it plays out in a game, it really has no correlation, and you try to make sure that it doesn't.
I'm sure when you lose a game in Super Bowl, in overtime, there are plenty of plays you're like, oh, crap, if only. But that fourth and one, you know, you get a defensive stop and the game is over. I don't know. That up there as far as plays, you're like, man, that hurts.
Not necessarily. I mean, fourth and one, it's, you know, it's 50-50, so, you know. So, I mean, there's other plays that are worse, but we can go through a lot of them. But that's your opportunity. You know, you got to stop for 1 yard and then it's over. And, you know, you're Super Bowl champ. So it's hard when it comes to that. But I think there's a number of other plays in that game that were just as important.
My expert opinion, a well-designed play. I mean, was there something that could have been done? Was there anything, like, quote-unquote, wrong with the defense there, or do you just kind of tip your cap and say, hey, you got us?
No, I mean, it's hard to defend everything. I mean, fourth and one is one of the tougher spots in football. I mean, you want to start out with sneaks. You got to defend the edges. You got to defend the dive. You know, you play tight man coverage. You got to defend every rollout pick play. And then when you call a play like that, you got to do 11-on-11 and defend the quarterback. So you can't defend every play, and they got us in a good situation where they ran their quarterback, and we had one guy on them, had a chance to stop it, but it's not an easy one to stop.
What did Carlson do on his kickoffs during his tryout?
I don't go out to his tryout, so good enough to sign him.
Is that a concern, though? I mean, these guys coming in, not being able to...
Everything's a concern. I mean, especially when guys are available. You know, if there were zero concerns, I think guys would be somewhere right now. So you look into all that and you try to make the best option. And that our guy last week did a hell of a job coming in, being 3 for 3. There's a lot of kickoffs we would wish would have gone in to the end zone. You know, we had that with Robbie towards the end of his career. You know, he was automatic kicker, but didn't always get it out there. You know, we've tried it with Mitch, so that's stuff you always want, but it's not guaranteed, especially as the year gets going and it gets colder. That's why we got to get better kickoff coverage as it goes also.
Of all the one-on-one matchups this game can have, do you get time to appreciate a Fred Warner going against Travis Kelce?
I don't really get time to appreciate it, but it's one that I'm glad that we got Fred Warner, because Kelsey is as good as it gets also, and so we got to have one that's as good as it gets to match up, and that's a hell of a competition between those two.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there it is from Kyle Shanahan earlier today at the Niner facility with regard to all things matchup. And I think we all agree, right, that, like, I don't know, the lead that comes out of that is, for me, I guess a couple things, but the number one is Kyle sort of admitting that you turn on the tape and you see Chiefs, there's a little post-traumatic stress there.
How could there not be? Because it was a Super Bowl where a lot of things went wrong, and you had the lead, and then you had the lead in overtime, which has never happened before. No team has ever led in overtime in the Super Bowl and lost. So, yeah, you put on the tape, and you look at it, and you see things that you would have liked to have done better and stuff, and then ultimately it didn't go your way. So you look at the tape, not with emotion, but you look at it in terms of what can you do better this year. And I do think that what he said about watching the Chiefs this year is more informative than watching the Chiefs last year, because this team is totally different than they were last year. So you can look back at last year, yes, but I do think you look at the Chiefs this year through five games, and primarily through the last couple where they haven't had Rashi Rice, and you see the way they've gone about running their offense, and that for me is more informative than what happened last February.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for fans, we're going to get distracted by the shiny object. That's not what this one's about. This one actually isn't, to me. Maybe it will be about Patrick Mahomes if the Chiefs are down six with the ball and a minute to go. Maybe then it's about Patrick Mahomes. Outside of that, for me, this is about the Chiefs' defense. If you really watch the way the Chiefs play football the last couple of years, that's really the straw that stirs the drink. Their defense has been fantastic. It's been really good again this year. That's the matchup that I am fascinated to see.
And that's what Kyle actually said in that the comments that we were just listening to. He said he thought that the Spagnuolo defense has gotten better and better each year. He thought last year it was the best defense they played, and he feels that way so far this year. They've got guys who've been playing a long time together. They've been doing the scheme for a while, and they continue to add to it. They fine-tune it. He's got respect for the scheme, and that makes me think about this defense, where they haven't been playing together for a long time. Floyd is new, and Mustafa and Green are new, and Devondre Campbell is new. And so when you think about this defense with a new coordinator and largely the same scheme but new players as well, I wonder if that isn't a detriment for the Niners based on what Kyle said about their defense and their scheme.
Who do you see as the better team? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Will in the East Bay. Hey, Will, thank you for calling. What's up?
Well, guys, thanks for taking my call again. Appreciate it. Dibs, by the way, don't forget the rock band Heart. Don't forget the TV show Heart to Heart, and a quarterback from the past for the St. Louis Cardinals named Jim Rayhart.
Enough. That's great knowledge right there. Yes, thank you. I think it was just Jim Hart. I'm not sure if his middle name was Ray, but I'll allow it. It's great.
No, you know, Jim Rayhart was on the Giants. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Jim Hart.
Yeah. On behalf of my brother, apology not accepted, but go ahead.
Oh, God, I'm leaning my head to the left. Anyway, I'm okay now. Let me just say this real quick about, I think the best team on paper is the 49ers. But a team to be feared is a team that plays very benign and very mediocre, okay? And then all of a sudden they kind of come alive in the last game. And, you know, the perception from teams can be, oh, this is not as good. No, this is a team to be more feared because they haven't reared their ugly head yet, okay? You got a quarterback who's basically the Terminator, okay? He morphs into whatever he has to be on that field, does whatever he has to be with one objective, and that's to annihilate his enemy, okay? And who's the better team? Cup is half full. I think Shanahan's going to make some adjustments. He's got more talent on the field on both sides, and I think with the right adjustments, this team is going to come alive without McCaffrey. I know we're on a time thing here, but let me just say one last thought. You brought up Madden and Brett Favre in the same breath. Going back to a tailgate, Monday Night Football, okay? Brett Favre just lost his father, okay? We watched the Madden Cruiser pull in, you know, behind the fence there. Went into the game, not a great team, but, you know, with hopes. We never, ever walked out on any of the games that we saw as season ticket holders, okay? But by halftime, Brett Favre, after losing his father, had completely annihilated the Raiders in that game. Stayed around for the beginning of the third quarter and realized what was going to happen here. Went back to the car, enjoyed great hors d'oeuvres with a couple of suds. And that was my memory, you know, just relating to the two together. But I appreciate you guys giving me some time tonight.
We appreciate the phone call, as always, Will. The memories of Madden are certainly welcome on the program, especially today as well, as we're out here in Pleasanton celebrating the great John Madden, his legacy, his memory, his actions within the game, all of those things. 888-957-9570. I just, like, when you hear that, it's like I agree with Will, with what he said about the Niners and Chiefs. I just think that there's something that sort of hangs over everybody, though, when you say it. Nobody's got any more time left for what the Niners can do on paper. There's just going to be very little patience to it. And so the closer we get to this weekend, I'm really starting to feel that it's not a standings angst. It's just an emotional angst based on the history of this matchup. And the 49ers, to say the least, would be very, very well served to sort of erase this from their memory bank.
For now, yeah, and if you end up facing them again in February, then it becomes a whole different experience, and it's a standalone game, and you both would be coming off a week, and then the whole idea about being in the Super Bowl, if you are, it's a whole different level of angst, because the last three times this franchise has been there, you've lost it. So if you get there and you face Kansas City or not, there's a whole different level of angst. But I do think that the standings is a lot of the anxiety that fans are feeling, because with the loss, you're back below 500. And on paper, they should be 5-1 right now, but you're not.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I'll say this. This is going to be fun. Check this out. First of all, if you did not hear Steve Mariucci with us earlier, live right here at the Madden Compound, we thought he was absolutely fantastic. You'll have your chance to hear that again coming up in a little bit. But also, on the Kansas City Chiefs flagship radio station, they had Patrick Mahomes on the air during their bye week and played a game of non-football questions with him. We have those questions. We're going to try to guess the answers, and then we have the answers straight from Patrick Mahomes. Might be an interesting window into the quarterback that you've never heard before. So we'll do that coming up around the bend as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now back to Willard and Dibs, live from John Madden Studio in Pleasanton.
I will tell you this. I wasn't thinking of this. I knew this would be exciting. I knew this would be unique. I knew it would be a wonderfully put together event. And for those of you who are just joining us, we are at what is basically called the Madden Compound. And this is a two-story building. Looks just like regular business park when you pull up on it. I have to be honest with you, when I pulled up on it, I'm like, am I in the right place?
Me too.
You know what I mean?
I thought we were going to the house.
Yeah.
This is not
the house. I'm like, where's John's living room?
Yeah.
No, you're just in a random business park. And then you walk into the parking lot around the back, and they've got one of those, you know, like, yeah, boom, the garage door opens. It's kind of like in the movies where someone steals a car and you pull it into the metal garage door goes up and you pull it in and close it and the cops go flying by and you don't see the car anymore. That's what it looks like, except for you go in there and there's all the memorabilia and a huge room where they have put up like what looks like double-sided theater seating with the screens where John and all of his family would get together and watch football every Sunday. And I'm like, there is absolutely nothing cooler than this. And again, if you're listening to us right now, I made sure to do kind of a walk with me and put it on my Instagram story, so you can go to MT Willard if you want to know what the actual video and pictures of what we're talking about look like. Go check it out, because it's pretty cool. And And so it's just an honor. It's an honor to be in here, and his family apparently still does this every Sunday, even now that he's passed, coming up on 3 years, which I thought it had only been two. It's crazy how fast it goes.
No doubt.
So all that's great. There's only one thing that's not perfect that I wasn't expecting or thinking about. There's a lot of people down there in Raiders jerseys.
Oh, you thought that wouldn't happen? And that's not perfect?
I should have known.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's something wrong with it.
You do know that he coached the Oakland Raiders,
right? Yes. Okay. I'm just saying.
I want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
As a 49er fan, my shoulders get a little tight when I'm walking through a room full of people in Raiders jerseys.
Well, when you walk outside and you feel that chill go through the air here in Pleasanton, you remember that the autumn wind is a Raider.
I know.
It all fits in so many different ways. And, you know, I wonder how many of the Raider greats are here because, you know, the crowd is full downstairs and I'm more smitten by some of my former colleagues, the KCBS people, and I've had a great time reconnecting with people who I haven't seen in 10, 15, 20 or more years. But there's a ton of Raider jackets, starter jackets, Raider jerseys, Raider gear in the building.
I was just talking to one of our friends down there who's got the authentic old black Raiders.
You could name drop him because you used him to cut in line to get food.
I did nothing.
And I saw you.
I did nothing, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Chestnut Checkers, beautiful, my partner.
Beautiful Raiders authentic starter jacket. And we were talking about how the ones that come out, and I know will sound old, but the ones they've got out today, it's just not the same.
Exactly.
It's just not the same. It's so cookie cutter now, and those things will always be beautiful.
Yeah.
They'll always be beautiful.
His name rhymes with Brian Schmiong. That's all I'm going to say about who that was.
Yes, it does rhyme. Yes, it does.
But it's a great event, and happy to be here, and happy to remember John Madden and his great legacy. And it does put into some perspective for me, like Shanahan is great. I am with you on how great he is. But when you think about John Madden as a coach, he is number one all-time in winning percentage among coaches who coached more than 100 games. He made the playoffs in 8 of 10 years, and nobody ever was, I don't think, trying to run him out of town.
No,
like Shanahan.
But what's amazing about that is that John Madden made such a name for himself in two other avenues. You forget about the coach.
Exactly.
Part of it is just how long it's been, and you've got generations of football fans that don't know anything about John Madden, the Raider coach.
Yep.
Even I wouldn't be able to tell you some of those numbers. I knew he was the coach of the Raiders. I know he was very successful.
You were born in...
But I was born in 1975.
He retired in 78.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah. That's not my time. But a lot of, as you said, nobody would... If you said right now, okay, who do you think is the coach with the best winning percentage in the history of the NFL who's coached at least 100 games. There's no way that name's coming up.
No.
You're going to guess Shula.
Yep.
You're going to guess Knox. You're going to start going through. You're going to guess Reed. You're going to start guessing all of these names. Nobody would bring up John Madden, and I'd argue it's because of how successful he was in his other two ventures as a broadcaster, and then his third venture, which I don't even know if he knows was a venture. Like the stories that we're sitting here hearing right now, John had no clue that this was going to become a video game, and once it did, he had no interest in playing it.
Right. And that's just generational. And nowadays, if you're a kid and you have three of them who are old enough to play video games, and if you just say the name Madden, it's let's play. What team do you want to be?
Get me Madden for Christmas.
Right. And
every
you and
year.
I, when you said Madden, when we were their age, it was Madden and Summerall, and it was, you know, the game of the week, and John Madden, the commentator. And if you're a little bit older, and, you know, I remember him as a coach a little bit because I'm a handful of years older than you, but it was the light beer from Miller commercials where all those guys were, you know, Bubba Smith and Rodney Dangerfield and all of the other celebs. That was one of the first campaigns that he was featured in, which helped to propel him into the broadcasting realm, which helped him get propelled into the video game realm. So
888-957-9570. If you'd like to join the show, Willard and Dibbs live here at the Madden Compound on 95.7 The Game. Steve Mariucci was live in person with us earlier on the show. Really a fun conversation. Wait till you hear him talk about playing Madden. It's pretty funny. we'll have that for you in just over 10 minutes if you missed any portion of that conversation. But we also wanted to play with this. This is fun. We told you the Chiefs flagship radio station got a chance over the bye to bring Patrick Mahomes on the air. And they asked him any non-football questions that they wanted to ask. So what Grandy has done is he's queued up the answers that Patrick gave okay. to these questions. I'm going to throw out the question. You and I can sort of guess what we think Patrick said.
Oh, we're going to guess what we think he said.
And then Patrick's
not what we would do.
No.
But,
what,
okay.
What do you think Patrick said? And then we'll hear Patrick say it.
All right.
So here's question.
Little contest between Willard and Dibs.
Yeah. Very exciting. A lot on the line.
Willard versus Dibs.
Winner gets chicken and waffles. Okay. Question one. Would you rather play Pebble Beach with Travis Kelce or Augusta with Tiger?
Am I supposed to answer like Patrick?
Yeah.
Well, I think that I would be a lot more fun. Now, this is Patrick the Frog here.
Every single one of your impersonations is like a blend of your previous impersonations. That would, like, if Farhan made a baby with Bosa. Yeah. That's what you just sounded like.
The answer is Augusta with Tiger, and it's not even close. He's sick of Travis.
I will go with you. I'm going to guess Augusta with Tiger. Grandy, what'd he say?
I feel like it's cheating because I've played Augusta a couple times now. I would play with Tiger because I haven't played with Tiger yet. So I gotta see what Tiger's like in person. Haven't even got to meet him, and I want to ask him about some of the stuff that he did as far as his career and how he dominated for so long.
Okay. As far I mean, you could have cut it you off with I want to ask Tiger about some of the stuff
I
he's done.
I want to ask about some of the stuff he did. You and I looked at each other like, oh, you're not playing with you.
Patrick, it's Tiger. Do me a huge favor. Hey, Tiger, the Waffle House, am I right?
Your membership at Augusta has just been revoked.
Okay.
All right.
We both got it.
Yep, we're one for one. Okay, this is going to be a little bit hard. I don't even know how we answer this, but might as well throw a Hail Mary.
Yep.
What is your favorite audiobook and or podcast?
Man, podcast, I'm going to say the Draymond Green Show.
Okay.
Because I'm a huge fan myself. Audiobook?
I think you could just do one or the other. You
okay.
Don't need to, yeah.
Yeah.
How the hell? I'll guess the obvious one. Is it called the New Eras? What's the Kelce podcast? The Kelce Brothers. What's that called? The New Heights? New Heights. I combined his podcast with Taylor Swift's tour. That's what I did. Isn't that the Eras tour?
Yes.
I called it the New Eras tour.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good drop in, Luke.
The New Heights.
Well done.
The New Heights, I will guess, the New Heights podcast. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Right now I'm listening to an audiobook called Captain's Class. So it's just about different captains throughout all sports and how they did it. And then as far as podcasts, I've been listening. My buddy Andrew Santino has one called Bad Friends. It's a little bit more comedy-based. And so sometimes if I'm trying to get a laugh in or something like that, I'll throw that on.
Andrew Santino, Bad Friends. There you go.
There it is.
I mean, that's a tough question to try to get right.
It is, but it's okay that we both got it wrong. By the way, all of this is courtesy of 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Want to make sure we thank them.
A station on which I will be appearing on Friday.
Oh!
Yes, Friday about 10 o'clock our time.
You got the bat signal.
They've reached out.
Okay.
I have agreed to go on only because it's an Odyssey station and it's one of the four C's in Odyssey.
What the one of the four C's in Odyssey?
You know, Odyssey? The
Odysseys.
Yeah, we have
got
the four
it.
C's in Odyssey.
What are you going to tell
Don't you ever check your email?
What? No, I don't. You know that I don't.
I'm going to tell them that we're really hecka scared of Kansas City and stuff. I'm going to do the whole interview as Shanahan, I've decided.
You're going to use the word hecka?
I'm going to use a lot of ums and stuff.
Okay. That actually would be funny.
Well, I think that, you know, what you guys are doing and stuff is really nerve-wracking.
No, please
and stuff
do that so that we can play it on our show.
Okay.
Do the whole interview as Kyle Shanahan.
It's going to be total ums and stuffs.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.